Good afternoon, everybody listening to podcasts at the moment, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you're deciding to listen to this at. Today, I've got a little bit of time before work, so I figured I would more than likely do a podcast about a different drug than what we've already done a podcast about so far. The drug today, or the chemical substance, however you wish to, whatever you wish to call it by, the one that we're going to do or talk about today is DOM. My personal experience that I've had with something similar to it is with DOB, and I did that one time. Several podcasts back, I did it in the Chronicles of D. I talked about my experience with DOB and just the, I guess it's just a psychedelic amphetamine or a cyclicized amphetamine or phenethylamine. And I remember how definitely profound the experience was, but just how, I don't know, it was just a very, very intense but pleasurable kind of experience. Right? Not to go into too much detail about it, but anyway, it just re-remembering that made me want to do a podcast about one of its near relatives, and which is DOM. And DOM is 2,5-dimethoxy-4-methylamphetamine. 2,5-dimethoxy-4-methylamphetamine, DOM, known on the street as STP, standing for Serenity, Tranquility, and Peace, is a psychedelic and a substituted amphetamine. It was first synthesized by Alexander Shulgin, or Sasha, and later reported in his book Picol, Phenethylamines I Have Known and Loved, A Chemical Love Story. DOM is classified as Schedule 1 substance in the United States and is similarly controlled in other parts of the world. Internationally, it is Schedule 1 drug under the Convention on Psychotropic Substances. It is generally taken orally. Effects of this drug include substantial perceptual changes such as blurred vision, multiple images, vibration of objects, visual alterations, distorted shapes, enhancements of details, slowed passage of time, increased sexual drive and pleasure, and increased contrasts. It may cause mystical experiences and changes in consciousness. It may also cause pupillary dilation and a rise in systolic blood pressure. DOM is a selective 5-HT2A, 5-HT2B, and 5-HT2C receptor partial agonist. Its psychedelic effects are mediated by its agonistic properties of the 5-HT2A receptor. Seems to be a popular theme among any psychedelic compound, it would seem. I don't know if the same can be said about Salvia divinorum, but anyway. Due to its selectivity, DOM is often used in scientific research when studying the 5-HT2 receptor subfamily. DOM is a chiral, C-H-I-R-A-L, never seen that word before, molecule, and I've never been to a chemistry class, so you're going to have to forgive my pronunciation of things when I come across a string of characters and words that I've never seen before. So, but it's R, a minus symbol, another minus symbol within two parentheses, and then a minus symbol on the outside, or a dash, I guess you could call it, on the outside of the right bracket of the parenthesis. Bracket is a different thing, the right parenthesis, or Anyway, and then it says DOM. It is a more active enantiomer, functioning as a potent agonist of the serotonin 5-HT family of receptors, mainly of the 5-HT2 subtype. Analogs and derivatives. The 2,6-dimethoxy positional isomer of DOM, known as something rather, DOM. The symbol I've never seen before. It looks like something from the Greek alphabet, but it looks like a W with like a, with where the middle hump in the W has got like a little dash beneath the middle. It also mentioned in Picol as being active, as is the alpha ethyl homolog Ariadne. A-R-I-A-D-N-E, Ariadne. Analogs where the methoxy groups at the 2-5 positions of the aromatic ring have been altered have also been synthesized and tested as a part of an effort to identify the binding mode of DOM at the 5-HT2A receptor. Both the 2 and 5-O-desmethyl derivatives, 2-DM-DOM and 5-DM-DOM, and the 2 and 5 ethyl analogs, 2-ET-DOM and 5-ET-DOM, have been tested, but in all cases were significantly less potent than the corresponding methoxy compound, showing the importance of the oxygen lone pairs in the 5-HT2A binding. Toxicity. Very little is known about the toxicity of DOM. According to Shulgin, the effects of DOM typically last 14 to 20 hours, although other clinical trials indicate a duration of 7 to 8 hours. Might be like scopolamine in the instance of overdoing it even the littlest bit kicks up the duration time. I guess if you're doing Datura of any kind and you overdose, even the slightest, it changes from 12 to 72 hour type of thing. So, what else? Well, I guess that's enough about the pharmacology of DOM. We're going to do an Arrowhead experience, of course. This one is called Life's Manifestations by the person on who did the report on Arrowhead, titled themselves DOM as their profile name. So this experience is with one hit oral DOM blotter or on a tab, and also 3/4 of an ecstasy tablet or MDMA. All right, here we go. My girlfriend and I had received some blotter from a friend at a party one time, and he said that it's like acid, but with a much longer duration. Ugh. Uneducated. See, the problem with, I mean, I get that you can kind of isolate and identify things by their duration and just to by process of elimination, when you're not exactly sure what drug it is that you are ingesting. So, I mean, right away that already gives me pause that it was DOM, but it's, you know, there's not many drugs that come on blotter that you're going to find on, anyway, whatever, I'm not going to get into that. I'm here to say that, though, at doses like what we had, this is not acid. This was like mescaline, acid, and other psychedelics all wrapped into one. We had the DOM for some time now, and since we hadn't tripped since February, we decided to give it a go. We're both very colorful, upbeat people, so we like our trips to be upbeat, too. Seems like there's always more to discover this way, so to keep it upbeat, we got some ecstasy to go with it. I don't know if I agree with that entirely. Obviously, it's never fun to have a trip go to the darker realms of whatever, the unconscious mind or the subconscious. But you do learn a lot from those trips, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, 11... 5:30 p.m. or so. We dropped the two hits, stuck them under our tongues. They tasted like total shit. It tasted like burning rubber smells. Then after about 30 minutes, I accidentally swallowed mine, so my girlfriend decided to swallow hers too. We sat in my apartment for a bit and listened to some music and played some video games. Then after about 1 hour, we started to feel it coming. Things started to shimmer. Then after about 1 hour, things started to shimmer a little. And at that point, we decided to eat a quarter of a roll each. We knew that the DOM would overpower the roll, but we still wanted to add a little bounce to it. 12 a.m. Sunday. We started feeling it come on very, very hard. The walls started to melt a little. We were used to this. We've done a lot of acid before. But what happened after this, neither of us had experienced before. The walls started to break down. They would swirl into the most beautiful colors of the craziest kind. There was blue, red, yellow, and green. We were also watching cartoons at the time. And there was a cat on one of the cartoons. I saw the cat come out of the TV and dance on the air, then on the floor. Craziest thing is, my girlfriend saw it too. 1 a.m. By this time, we were tripping pretty hard. Things were starting to melt into each other, and there were colors everywhere. We decided to turn off the lights, and we turned on the black lights and Christmas lights. I have a black light poster that opens up in the middle and had lots of colors and lines around the edge. As we were sitting on my couch, we started staring at the poster, and the poster started to come alive more than anything I've seen before. The small poster started to eat up everything. Each line became three lines, and each three lines manifested three lines. By the time we had stared at it for 10 minutes, the whole room was the poster. We were in the middle of a tunnel of colors, still sitting on the couch. This drug is the most powerful thing I've ever done because it is... Okay, this drug is the most powerful thing that I have ever done because of its complete manipulation, not quite, because of its complete manipulation of the mind. Also, during this time, we decided to turn off all the lights. Big mistake for us. 1:30 a.m. We were listening to a CD called Liquid Acid. It's a CD that has a lot of noises that are tweaked out to make your mind... to take your mind to other realms, which is great on acid because of how you can control your mind most of the time. Unfortunately, with this stuff, my girlfriend and I couldn't get control. The tweaks of the music became too much, and we started to see the noises that were happening. We started to feel the music go through us. We started tripping so hard that we saw thundering colors happening in my apartment, and we saw smoke billowing from everything. Every molecule could be seen, and it was manifested three times over. We could see colors seething out of the walls. We could feel the tiniest sounds. For me, the colors became so real that they turned into clowns. To me, it looked like Kiss's psychedelic circus. Unfortunately, my girlfriend doesn't like clowns, and when I kept repeating the clowns were everywhere. She got very scared, and so did I. I also couldn't say Kiss's psychedelic circus, right? And when I tried to say it to her, she thought I was calling her a psycho. And she continued to think that the whole night. That was the moment things started to go haywire. 2:30 a.m. We had been tripping in the dark for some time, but had no real concept of time. This stuff makes you feel like you ate an 8-ball of meth and a vial of LSD-25 all at once. Nice. Our brains were going insane. We decided to take another piece of a roll, so I went to get it, but when we were going to do it, neither of us could focus enough to snort it, so we tried our best to eat a half each. After I ate it, I started being all monkey-like and was jumping on the furniture. My girlfriend went to the bathroom. When she came back, she saw me stretching out. I had my feet on the back of the couch and was stretching using the ceiling to push against, but that's not what she saw. She saw me on the ceiling and thought I was up on the wall, like stuck to it, and she saw me moving around it. This is the point where I believe I totally lost her. She couldn't handle the drug anymore. She is this tiny woman, like 100 pounds, and the most acid she has ever done was 3 hits. That doesn't really say much about the microgram, because you can have 500 micrograms and an individual hit of acid, and then taking 3 of it would be 15 or a milligram and a half of acid, which is a tremendous dose, but, you know, not to be too, you know, specific or anything, but, hey, not everybody looks into that sort of thing. She started to cave in, and then I said something like, "This is psychotic." And she thought I called her a psycho again. God, I bet that was all sorts of fun. It all went downhill from there, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that she was getting mad at me and scared of me. 3 a.m. I don't know what happened at this point. I passed out. I remember being on my room, or being in my room, I'm guessing, looking for my girlfriend and her not being anywhere. I remember searching for her in the darkness, but after that, I don't remember anything. I had some crazy dreams, though. I know that I was a hippie in the 60s at an outdoor fest. I could see myself clear as day. I had a pot belly, torn jeans, bandanas and a jean vest, and I was hitting a bong. I don't smoke pot, though. All right, 4:30 a.m., I woke up in my apartment in my... See, I'm wondering if he passed out or if he just had, like, a trance out thing, or if, like, that thing where you, when you... Whatever, if you take a whole bunch of MDMA and you just... Your consciousness, like, disconnects from linear awareness and you start to just... You trance out into some incomprehensible mind space where you just... All you remember is coming back to and then... Like, I don't know, fuzzing out, sort of. My experience with DOB, I didn't have any lapse in... I guess I did. I don't recall phasing out like that. I remember everything was just moving, like... everything was moving very quick, similar to how it is after injecting methamphetamine, where it's just... I don't know, it's hard to describe. There's just... But it seems like with DOB or DOM, it seems like there are... whatever, you get like a sense of time dilation where it expands the sensation of time, whereas just methamphetamine in and of itself, it gets like a restricted sense of time where all of a sudden, you know what I mean? It only feels like an hour has passed and all of a sudden, like, you know, the entire afternoon has gone by and it's dark outside or whatever. You're like, holy shit, what happened? But we're not going to get into methamphetamine. Okay. Back to the story. 4:30 a.m. I woke up in my apartment in my bed, my legs turked under my chest, and my head down, the same way that Muslims pray. When I woke, the blue Christmas lights that I have in my apartment were on, and I felt good. My girlfriend has an apartment below me, and I figured that she was in there. Interesting. Figured that she was in there, so I went downstairs, and I saw her coming up. She looked really worried. We went into my apartment and I started to talk to her. She didn't really say much, though. She said that she had gone outside and that she was having a crazy time. But I don't think that she meant good crazy. When we got to my apartment, we turned on the lights and there was still color everywhere. Everything was liquid. We didn't have to focus on things anymore to make them be liquid. They just were. Everything was melting into itself and everything around us. I have turntables and I'm an okay DJ, so I put a record on and tried to mix. Big mistakes. The sounds were coming out of the stereo were so intense that it hurt. It felt like my ears were going to bleed. I was a little sweaty, so I decided to hop in the shower. While I was taking a shower, everything got even crazier. Every sound and image became tenfold by this time, then 10 more, then 10 more. The water falling became this high-pitched squeal, and the water looked like it was everywhere. I thought that it was flooding the bathroom. Also, the hair on my arms looked like it was growing at an insane rate. I felt like I was an animal, a mouse, completely covered in long hairs. I got out of the shower because I couldn't handle it anymore, and I dried off and got dressed. My girlfriend was in my room, and we decided to turn off the lights and listen to some music. That's when the most amazing thing ever happened. 5 a.m. So we're about 5 hours into the trip or so. I watched complete cities and civilizations be built. I saw shadows of shadows. I watched life be created from the smallest molecule. I saw Aztec ruins be rebuilt. Mayan cultures come to life. Roman and Greece cultures uprise and fall. I floated through space with the wings of life. I laid on my floor and watched the cosmos come to life. We saw stars shoot across the room. We saw life being built. All we could see particles. I'm assuming what he meant by that was all we could see were particles. I don't understand all that I saw, and I can't explain it in the best detail. But what we saw made me realize how small we truly are, and how little I truly know. How great and vast this world is, and how many other worlds there are out there. I don't understand it all, but knew that someday it would all make sense. These visuals were unlike any other. It reminded me of all the things that I had heard about peyote and high doses of mescaline, but it wasn't as lucid. I was still in control of me, and I could think about things, but at the same time, I could see life. I could walk through the visuals, and when I did, they would part. It was the most insane, intense visuals ever. I could feel everything. I could feel all of life around me manifesting. I could feel everything that is, except the fact that my girlfriend was getting more and more distant from me. It seems that in that time that I had been asleep, she had lost our path, and I was having a hell of a time trying to find her. Tripping with lovers can be the most ecstatic and most lovely kind of thing, and it can also be the most intense kind of emotional battle and accumulated misunderstanding that you can go through. It's been a long time since I've tripped with other people, and as time passes, it gets further and further away from how long it's been since I've actually had a good old-fashioned psychedelic trip. Me, personally, I got, for the last couple of years, I've really only been injecting or snorting a lot of meth and mixing it with marijuana. And it's sad to say, because for the first 10 years of doing this stuff, it was all mushrooms and MDMA, and then a few years into that, it was LSD, mushrooms, salvia. Actual salvia was the first thing I got into. Cannabis, and then every once in a while, something like 2CB would come on down the pipe, and then it morphed into MDPV, and then after MDPV and 4MMC stopped becoming available, it was just meth, But for a while there, I was still able to get mushrooms and acid. But for the last couple of years, up until, it's been like 7 months. No, it's been like 8. When was the last time I did meth? Last time I did meth. Ironically, was with a fellow. Actually, she lived at Camp Meeker, but this gal named, this older gal named Rose, that lives in Occidental, had some dope with her, and she hooked me up with some of it, and I snorted it, and it got really high from doing it, and that was the last time that I did it. And a couple days later, I was staying with my buddy Clay, who's got a bus out in the wilderness. Not really out in the wilderness. I mean, it's off of, not a main street, but up in the little boonies out there in Occidental. And that was the last time I had taken psilocybin, too, was a couple days, or like the day after that I did that meth. He had some cyanesins that, I just ingested a small amount of it. And gosh, that whole story just makes me really reflect on the last few years and how wrong, intensely wrong, my whole exploration of, I don't know, that was a weird phase of my life. I, back in 2016, I left home in Chino and was just living in my car, and then went up to Santa Cruz for a couple weeks and had a bunch of meth with me. And kept diving further and further into my own mind and my own wanderings, and would start coming up with just the craziest cognitive hallucinations you could possibly imagine. And I started pursuing ideas that I had within those cognitive hallucinations, and I don't know, I had, at the time, I mean, I guess it's still an ongoing thing, but not, well, not an ongoing thing, but just, I had a deep sadness that I felt about Terrence McKenna, and just the whole, his story of just, whatever, the experience at La Charrera, and just the unfolding of his career talking about psychedelics and his brother Dennis, and which is just my name. And so anytime the name would was being mentioned, I would just always have these little flights of fantasy of myself being kind of within whatever, you know, whatever, sidekick mode, you know, whatever. And just, I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but just kind of being there, I would always wonder what it would be like to be out there with him just on that crazy adventure. And over the, I don't know, I had one, the first time I'd ever listened to True Hallucinations was under the influence of in between a quarter ounce and a half ounce of psilocybin mushrooms that I methodically ate while listening to the story, and just had the most intense kind of ego dissolving, fusing, reinforcing experience when just hearing the name Dennis, and then the whole Ask Dennis thing going on within that story, and that whole just, you know, whatever, just thing that seemed to be mere coincidence morphed into a cognitive hallucination that never really let its grips go, even after coming down from that trip, and was later then reinforced when I was going heavy with amphetamines. And so what I did was I had just this inner sadness about how the whole process of him dying happened. Then I had cognitive hallucinations where the knowledge of entering, I don't know how to put it. I would have the experience of, say, on a heavy psilocybin trip, you have the experience of all linear time dissolving before your very awareness. So knowing that it launches your consciousness into a realm that is before and after all times ever present. And so what I started to wonder that the internet was a similar dimension, sort of, where it was just this instantaneous electromagnetic or chemical or cybernetic dimension where all information could pass through and be, you know what I mean, be sapped out of this place. So I came up with a weird experiment to try to little embarrassing to talk about, but whatever. Anybody that listens to this, I'll never hear anything from, so. But I sent him an email, and I was just always wondering if you could hack an email in the sense where you could reprogram it to be sent to a specific time. So what I did was I created an email with all the knowledge of the impending illness that he eventually would, whatever, the glioblastoma multiform, just all the information that I could get about that, but also information about this new sort of treatment that you could get for that is injected that makes cancer specific cells or cells that are being mutated by cancer that actually have like a very bioluminescent bright green glow, so that any cancer or any cells infected with cancer grow that just have this very vibrant light green lantern sort of glow to it, which meant that if there was some, you know, taken into, if you applied like the string theory thing where say I did send an email that could get to him in some other dimension, in some other time and location, where the information about this, where the information could reach him. There's also this treatment where I don't know anything about it because I saw it on like a TED video that when I went to go look for it again after initially seeing it and then coming up with the idea after the fact, that I go to find the video again and it's nowhere to be found. That there could be a dimension or a reality where he gets the treatment. They're able to operate on the brain tumor and then get all of the gunk out so that the tumor doesn't re-manifest, and he's able to live beyond April 3rd, 2000, or, you know, whatever the specific date was. And it's almost positive that's when it was. And so that reality would come into, whatever, the crossing of two realities could come into existence where all of a sudden he's just alive again and is, you know, back with us in the world, because the reality where he's able to get beyond the illness and keep on living crossed over and met up with this reality. You know, anyway, it's just crazy fucking bullshit that I came up with while being really spun out and just continued to be, because I used to work for my stepdad's carpet company out in Torrance, and I was smoking meth all day, every day, working in the warehouse, just having 12 hours a day to come up, you know what I mean? To come up with this stuff while doing work and just, you know what I mean? Not having any other really care in the world and just letting these cognitive hallucinations manifest and then not have any really anybody to tell them to without, you know, sometimes they're going to throw a net over me for coming up with such crazy bullshit. And knowing that, but still being passionate enough about the emotional part of the reason why I came, you know, I just cared about this person. He would be somebody that I would have been able to be really good friends with if him and I were alive at the same time, similar age, whatever. He talks about how he probably would have been like an archaeologist of some sort, I think, or whatever. Archaeologists, the people who look for, or paleontologists looking for dinosaur bones. I would have been the guy, the kid, to have carried all of the shit around while we were looking for stuff out in the wilderness. Happy to do it. You know, where are we going next, boss? That sort of guy. And anyway. And not any faggy sort of sense either. This is not some gay type of thing. It just seemed like somebody who would have been a really good friend. And I don't, you know, anyway, I'm not going to go into any more detail about that. But the point being was that not knowing what to say to anybody, I kind of ran out to Occidental. Like, because I don't know who do you go to when you're sad about the fact that somebody died, but it was like 20 years beforehand or 16 years beforehand when this all started. It's been 19 and a half years now. But when you're sad, when you're more recently sad about something and you don't really, I don't know, there's who you go cry to in that situation. So I did that, went out on a spun ducky kind of adventure and went absolutely bananas in Occidental. And over the course of a couple of years, wrote really embarrassing, true sort of email, I wrote kind of like these love letter things to Kathleen Harrison. More in the sense of just hearing what, I don't know, my own imagined scenario of how a relationship with just these two, with a woman who's just psychedelically inclined, cares about plants and nature, and has just made a life sort of around that realm of, whatever, of study and just yada yada. I just I collaborated this sort of just this imagined scenario of like the super romantic type of fictional reality where everything's perfect and things are psychedelic all the time and just, you know, just shenanigans. But nonetheless, being meth, being all spun out, never really letting go of that sort of idea. I would just imagine these romantic flights of fancy and write shenanigans. And anyway, ultimately, things led to me getting a restraining order filed against myself. And it's hard to say on whether it's the thing is will be for forever, because now that I'm just on, I was put on misdemeanor probation, and then I got caught with 169 grams of meth, and then went to jail for 6 months for that, and then everything, all of the issues that I had with that got ran concurrent with my felony probation. So now that, I can't. If even if I wanted to go to something botanical dimensions involved, I have to wait 3 years from whenever that happened. I think it could be for forever, but it could also not be. And I'm not, now that I'm sober, you know, embarrassingly enough, I don't feel like fanning those flames anymore, even though just the feeling of caring about him as a person has never really faded. There's just not a whole bunch I can do now that isn't ultimately just going to make things worse on myself, which is probably, you know, the the worst possible way that things could have turned out, in my opinion, as of today, just because, imagining all of that for myself, realizing that Terrence McKenna's daughter is only 9 years older than I am, and she's really a beautiful woman, and not without knowing too much about this woman, it was somebody who is attractive enough to where I could, she's somebody I could be in a relationship with easily. I just have not done enough with myself personally to ever imagine that I would be on the attractive side of, I'd be able to be appealing at all to her. She's a successful artist and has got her life together. I spent my life since being 16, I'm 29 now, diving deep into just doing drugs of all different kinds, and being, having habit turn into dependency, turn into, the drugs got dirtier, and there's so many, my experience has taken me in so many different directions and splintered off into so many dimensions of pursued hopes and truths and denials and so on and so forth, that it fragmented me entirely, and now I'm just rebuilding. But the sad part is just the fragmentation, I turned the people that I was hoping to build some sort of relationship with into a relationship where I destroyed the possibility of creating the kind of relationship that I ultimately wanted. And now I'm just putting myself back together now. I'm working, I'm saving money. I don't make a whole bunch of it, but I don't really have any bills at the moment, so I'm able to save all of it. I destroyed my credit in that time. And I'm taking the shambles that were my life and I'm trying to make things right. I can't say exactly what the future will be, maybe one day when we're both old people, and if she's single, maybe I can create a relationship with her then, at that time when kids don't matter and blah, 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 but we'll see. I don't know. There's pretty girls out here in Montana, and the world's full of different kinds of people, but, who knows how many of them are psychedelically inclined. There's probably some of them, and she may not be. It's just because her dad was involved in that realm. But, it could tell by could tell that the psychedelic experiences over time were happening less and less often. And I guess that may be a part of getting older. I don't know. It's still the only It's just a dimension that still provides a lot of mystery about life and about, whatever. And it always hits on the big questions about life, where we come from, where we're going, what's our purpose. And it really speaks to reinforcing just the mystery and the beauty of life. But I guess it's all just a learning experience. And I don't know if anybody's ever made it all the way through life without doing something really retarded and embarrassing. But I feel like I did it overkill with all that experience. And now there's just a cycling feeling of regret that I can't shake and I can't get rid of. And it makes the times where it's really in my face and all the time, it's just, and I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I even do, like, the live salons. I've done it a few times, at least, for, like, the psychedelic salon. And I want to open my mouth about this stuff, or, you know what I mean? But, like, I just, I've had too many damaging, embarrassing experiences that I'm trying to refrain from saying too much stupid stuff or too many stupid things. And there's just nobody out there that really cares, and there's nothing to figure out about all this. Like, I don't know. Well, oh man, I went into that was a long sort of side bit. But I don't even know if I want to tell, I don't even know if I really want to read the rest of the story about the DOM. So I might go ahead and just cut off this podcast here. The story is Life's Manifestations. It was by DOM, which is two, five dimethoxy, four methylamphetamine, and sounds like it's a whole bunch of fun to do. If I ever come across it, I'll definitely partake in it. If you didn't already think I was a psycho and, you know, as crazy as shithouse owls, as Terrence has said one time or another, then you for sure have realized it now. I'm trying to come down. I'm trying to ultimately ground myself and, you know what I mean, try to be normal enough to have normal conversations with people. But I've just had so many different, very connected but yet very abstract experiences to things that, where I listen to stuff in the past and it syncs with things, and you know what I mean, perfectly lays over with things that are going on in the present and things of that nature that just, that don't allow me to ultimately fully get back to baseline level, whether or not any drugs are involved. And it could just be the meth abuse. It could be an accumulation of all the different psychedelic compounds that I've done. But I am trying not to go out of my way to bother people in their regular lives. All I can do is tell my experience the best that I can in the most clearest of terms. And that's it. And I don't know. All the different substances are still the most fascinating thing to me. And I'm trying to be able to build a responsible, self-educated relationship towards them and trying to promote them in terms of being a, you know what I mean, people having the freedom to be able to pursue these things recreationally as well as medicinally, and you know, and just trying to help the public, or shed light to the public and share things with social media, but do it in a way that isn't ultimately being harmful to the cause, whatever the cause is. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Thank you for letting me blab on. And if you've listened to this whole podcast, I appreciate your time. And I'm not exactly sure when the next podcast will be out, but it's therapeutic and fun to get this stuff out there, I guess. And thanks for listening. And hope everybody's, you know, I hope everybody's living a lovely life and things are.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.